Hello, Mott. Can you hear me?
Hello, I can. How are you, Madonna?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Awesome.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday too.
It looks like we have Harun up here as well. Can you hear us, Harun?
Yes, I can.
I think we also have David too.
Yeah, I think it works now. Yeah. Needed to like both
Yep.
conditions somehow.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming up and joining us. I'm really excited to just talk about Android and whatever you guys are working on and just, a whole bunch of stuff that is going on in our industry. Can we start off with a couple introductions from each of you, like who you are, what you work on, what you're liking most about Android development?
Yeah, I guess I'll go fast. I actually don't like going fast because everyone else can kind of best you or make your intro better. But currently I'm working at Trivago. I'm based in Germany. I moved from Kenya like almost 1.5 years ago. I became a GD quite recently, I guess a few months ago. So what do I work on? So most the past year I've been working on I've been a tech lead on one of our products on the app we work with, the Trivago app. But other than that, the Android space I've been in for the last since 2016, I guess that's like 5 years now, 6 years, I guess. So yeah, I started learning Android with like Eclipse and Java. Switched to Kotlin at some point, did a bit of freelancing, then contractual work, then got into like full-time employment, and yeah, currently here. But yeah, I think there's a lot more about Android I can talk about. I think later on in the call, I'll just pass on to Harun.
Yeah, so hi everyone. I'm Harun. Yeah, so currently I work at Apollo Agriculture. And yeah, so what we do at Apollo Agriculture is just making commercial farming for farmers much more easier. Apart from that, I've been a co-organizer for Android 254 and Kotlin Kenya, which are local communities here in Kenya for Android development and also Kotlin. I've been also like an author. I'll also be very passionate about maybe technical writings and also doing a bit of DevRel stuff. So I'm an author at Rwanda Leak. I have a book and a number of articles there. And yeah, I've been on GD from last year, October, and part of the community. I think what I love most about Android is probably the architecture component libraries. I think I started with them quite early when they were introduced. So, and I use quite a number of them in my day-to-day life.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for those intros. It's really nice to meet you both, even if it is over Twitter space. Maybe one day we can meet up in person, but until then, thanks for being here. Madonna, how are you?
Yes, I am doing great, and I am very grateful to have David and Haran join us today because it is many of the questions that I've received is how like you become a GDE maybe in the parts of Africa and also the kind of challenges in the job market. So I'm hoping David and Haran can share some light on this one because there's so many questions around that. And also now that Google announced they're going to Africa, like I want to hear the excitement and what David and Haran think about this. So I'm excited for this session and let's get it going. And also thank you very much for all the audience that always come to join us. Very happy about that. And if you hear the background noise, it's summer. Sorry, not summer. It's spring break here, so the kids are home. I apologize for that.
That's great. We love to hear the kids and the pets and everything in the remote work world. So that's awesome. But yeah, I just shared to the space a tweet from Sundar Pichai about the Africa Development Initiative, which is really interesting and really, really cool. So definitely suggest checking that out. But yeah, Madonna brought this up a little bit, but talking about GDE and what it's like being a GDE in Africa. I would love to hear more about that. Anything that you want to share about that process or what you do there? I know, Harun, you said you work with a bunch of developer groups. How is that? Like, is there a big turnout? Or are there a lot of people like wanting to show up and learn?
Yeah, I think for maybe for the communities that I have, Android 254 and Kotlin Kenya, I think right from the very beginning, we've had like a very large turnout in numbers. I think currently on Meetup, we like have 5,000 members and for Android 254 and 2,000 members for Kotlin Kenya. And our monthly meetups, we usually have like a very good turnout. And I know people are very curious to learn and also interact with other like-minded people. So I think they're usually a place to go, especially for the Android world. So I think we have pretty a good number there.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd also say like, I think I became a GD while in Europe, but I think majority of the contributions which I submitted for my GDE were things I did while in Kenya. And I'd say the Android 254, Kotlin Kenya, the meetups, those are kind of the things that gave me visibility. And I think it's also a very nice place for like upcoming developers, new developers, experiences on developers to like share stage and share ideas and everything. So it's always welcoming to anyone regardless of your experience. So yeah, if anyone is in Nairobi and you haven't yet made use of this like developer meetups, I'd highly suggest you do so. I think it also kind of helped me boost my career. I think in the initial stages of my career, I wasn't really into community stuff. I was more like just doing my own stuff until I discovered, you know, meetups, communities, met people like Harun and other like amazing community organizers. So yeah, definitely say community work does, to some extent, it does help your career. So yeah. That is if you do aim at, you know, like getting this, you know, DevRel or GDE kind of titles.
I think just to echo that, David, I feel like that's a very good point, because even me, when I started my career, I didn't actually have any community. I didn't like go to any meetups. I was just doing my work alone. But then I realized it was really hard. Like, you needed a community just to at least feel like if your struggles are similar to other developers. Are you alone in this industry? Like, but once I found a community, I think my first community was Women Who Code. It really helped me a lot. And I would highly suggest that if you're here and you still don't have a community, please reach out to the people around you and see if there are any, and also look into meetups and see how that can be helpful. It is helpful.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for people who want to go to these sort of community events, but maybe are hesitant?
Yeah, I think I can maybe go first. I think most of these community events are very welcoming. I think we don't have like a discrimination. So feel free to maybe attend and maybe don't shy away. And also another tip is, as you attend these events, try to network with maybe the people that you see there. I think I also started like as a member back then in like some years back, but I tried to also talk to other people who I saw like were frequenting the meetups. Maybe the first time you may be afraid, but maybe on consecutive times, you can try to maybe talk with them and then try to also learn from them, because down the line you realize that these people you meet on the meetups and communities, they get to even refer you to jobs and also other opportunities and so on and so on. So I think the meetups are very open. I don't think they discriminate people. And probably if you are a bit shy, we have people who are very shy, the best way is just to try maybe giving a session. And I think that way people get to know you and maybe approach you for questions. I think that has always worked. If you maybe give a session, people maybe try to ask you questions and so on and so on. So you can even start conversation by that, if maybe you are that maybe shy in maybe talking to other people.
Amazing. Yeah. Go ahead, David.
And I think, yeah, there's always people who are ready to help, especially if you've never given a talk or you're too like shy. Yeah, you can always just start with like, you know, a 10-minute thing, like just share what you learned. I mean, it might seem not new to other people, but surprisingly, like usually whenever I see maybe someone tweet something, Sometimes I usually see someone tweet something, I'm like, oh, I always knew this, but then I'm always surprised by the amount of people who didn't know this. So what I'm just trying to say is just put what you know out there. You might be surprised by the number of people who find it new. It doesn't matter the level of experience you have on a certain topic or technology. I think that might also be a nice way for someone else to come and fill in the gaps, which maybe you didn't address. So I just say, just do it and just do it and see what happens. So yeah, you can just like start with like 10 minute talks and then like keep on doing, then switch to like a 20 minute thing. Then once you're feeling quite confident, you can then start doing this 40 minute kind of talks and presentations. So I guess like the more you do it, the comfortable you get. So, and I believe the communities are quite welcoming and there are these structures already in place. I think from the, if you're in campus, for example, I know we had, so when I was in campus, we had this, they were called DSC. I think they changed the name to something else. The Google Developer Student something. So that was a really nice place for me to start and for many people to actually start. That's for people who are in campus. But for if you're not in campus, you could also try the local meetups that do happen. I think now with the COVID restrictions being eased, I guess they are happening now. Every weekend, usually have these local meetups, a couple of devs meet up and, you know, like, I think it's always open for anyone to submit a talk. I think Harun can confirm that. But yeah, I think you can just like submit a talk or something you did that week or something you learned that week and just share it during these meetups. Then if you're looking for something more conferencey, I think there's like DroidCons and yeah, I think there's DreadCon. I don't know if there's any other thing that happens in Kenya on a larger scale for conferences. But yeah, DreadCon, I think, is one of the best ones as far as the conferences is concerned. And I think like once you start like building up from these meetups to from the meetups to the student developer groups and so on and so forth, the more you do it, like, the better you get. That's what I did and it kind of worked for me. So yeah, maybe it might work for someone else.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing all that. That's really cool. I never thought about like sharing a talk to have people approach me versus going to approach someone else. That's really an interesting point to make. So I like that a lot. But yeah, so just wanted to thank everyone again for taking time out of their Friday to be here with us. I hope everyone's had a good Friday so far. And if you want to come up and ask a question, please just request to speak and Madonna and I will get you up here. If you don't want to speak today, but still have a question, just DM me or Madonna or reply to the tweet that I pinned in the space and we can ask for you. But yeah, so Madonna, how are you? I know you've been thinking about a lot of stuff for this space. So do you have anything on the top of your mind?
Yes, I have a question, and this one was just sent to me, and this one is directed to David. Hi, David, you're doing great work. Can you tell us how somebody can get a job in a foreign land? So I found that to be pretty interesting. So, David.
Oh, okay. Which foreign land? I mean, so yeah, I guess
I think you did mention Germany, right?
Oh, yeah. Germany is... yeah, okay. I think I can only speak specifically for Germany because that's what I have experience on. So with Germany, I got my job through Stack Overflow. Initially, you'll see, okay, but I think Stack Overflow jobs is shutting down. So, I don't know the next best alternative. But usually you'd see jobs written visa sponsor and etc. So if an employer has written visa sponsor, that means they will take care of all your documents and everything. You just have to like just show up at the embassy and submit your documents and wait for your visa. So usually they introduce something called a scale immigration. So you can either move here with, okay, if you have a degree, you can move easily, Also, if you do not have one, which I think is kind of becoming more of a common case, especially in the tech scene, like people just, you know, go to boot camps, study on their own and get the skills, get the employment years in. So there's also the skill migration rate factors in, like the software engineering and the tech jobs kind of fit into this scope. So if you have like some kind of experience, like an employer can vouch for you, a previous employer can vouch for you, or you have some kind of certification that you did for some duration of time that shows that you have some level of knowledge or experience that you can actually do some, you know, data, Android, you know, some development, then that's also good enough. You can actually get a job here in Germany. You do not need to speak the language. My German is not the best, honestly. So yeah, that's pretty, all you have to do is just, I guess, ace the interview and everything else, the employer will sort you out, and that's it.
Wow, thank you very much, David. I really didn't know that you can get a job through Stack Overflow, but you're right. I know most of us here use it, and I've actually seen that job section on the, I think it's always on the right side. I mean, on the right? This side, yeah. Where it says apply, but that's a good, thank you for sharing. I didn't know that. Now I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked using it because it had a quite high response rate and the jobs are quite nice. Yeah, I actually just saw like the jobs while I was solving a bug on another job. So yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, the jobs there were really nice, but it's sad that they are shutting it down, probably they might bring something better. But yeah, but the Stack Overflow jobs, if it's still on, I'd recommend anyone to like give it a shot. The response rate was really nice.
Now you've made me want to research why they're shutting it down, because I hope they bring a better one, because I mean, it looks pretty beneficial. I do have. Oh, sorry, Matt.
No, I was just gonna ask David. Are you? Did you have to leave Africa and move to Germany for the job?
Yes. So I worked remote for the current. I worked remotely for a bit, then had moved here later on. Like after a couple of months, I moved here. So yeah, eventually had to move because when I was working remotely, I wasn't really a full-time employee. I was more of a contractor at the time. So yeah, to become a full-time, I had to move all the way here for some certain, I don't know, benefits and tax reasons and etc.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah. How did you think, what did you think about remote work, or do you have any opinions on it?
Yeah, I think after working remotely, I think after being paid, especially being paid by maybe let's say in euros in Kenya, it was quite, I'll say like the standard of living is quite high. I feel like you get to enjoy life a bit more, but then again, the other benefits which I feel like I get here, which probably might not necessarily match with what I might get back, you know, home. So there's this pros and cons. It's kind of like everything cancels out and you have to, I don't know, like flip a coin and see where, you know, things lead. But then also while I'm here, we don't really go to the office that much, I guess, like go to the office like once in 2 weeks. So you could be doing a vacation. I don't know, you could be working from a different country and just moving around and just attending Zoom calls when you need to. So I'd say there's a pro and con to, you know, working from back home and working from here, and things I could have gotten back home and things I'm getting here. So yeah, I could like talk about this for hours, but there's so much to yeah, there's a lot of pros and cons to each side.
I think, I wanted to add for context, when he says back home, I think he means Kenya.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when I say back home, I mean Kenya, yeah.
Cool, yeah. What about you, Harun? Do you work remotely or do you go into an office?
I work fully remotely. I've never gone to an office per se.
Well, and so do you prefer remote work?
Yeah, I prefer remote work. I think for pretty much most of my career, I've been working remotely. I don't like mostly going to the office, probably unless it's meetings or maybe when we have to do a catch up with the team. But pretty much of my career, I've been working remotely. So I prefer just working from home. I feel like I'm a bit more productive when I'm working from home.
Cool. Madonna, I think you were going to say something.
Yes, I had another question. But Haron, I support that. I feel like remote work is pretty much better as compared to when you have to commute all the time. You waste all that time commuting. But I think once in a while, it's not bad. I think I can do one day in a week. I don't mind that because it's good just to meet other people. But that's my opinion. Okay, I had another question that was sent in. And this one is directed to you, Haron. Before we can go back to our questions. Haron, how does one become a technical writer? I am afraid of writing. I don't feel very confident. How can you encourage me to be a technical writer?
Yes, I think that the first step is usually to maybe sort of overcome that fear. And because a lot of people, one, maybe fear that they don't have like that enough technical knowledge to maybe write about something, or maybe their English is not that good because maybe some of us are not native English speakers. But I think the first step is just to maybe, the way I started was very funny because I was trying to solve sort of a bug that I was facing, and I didn't have like many resources to maybe refer to or maybe to have a look at. So once I was like done and then had my findings, I decided to just document it down with an article. And that is how I like started my journey into maybe technical writing. And I think currently we have a lot of resources. I think even Google has like a documentation on how to maybe get started into technical writing. So in case you are just wondering how you can get started, you can even just look at the documentation on maybe what are some of the best practices to follow when doing maybe technical writing. And also the good thing is nowadays we have a lot of paid technical writing stuff. I think from Rewenderleak, and then we have LogRocket and the likes. So I think if maybe once you get started in the technical writing stuff, I think you can maybe apply to one of those and then try to and see how it goes. But another thing I think people struggle with when it comes to maybe technical writing is how to get maybe that get that flow going, because I think you can have an article stay in draft like for a long time. So the best thing is maybe you can have someone to hold you accountable, or maybe have a target, or maybe let's say one article in a month, or maybe whatever time period that you choose. So long as that you have that flow, it's usually best, because once you like do it like not frequently, you get to a time and you just lose that ability or that psych to continue writing. So I think that frequency is usually very important, just making sure that you write consistently, because the more you write, the more you get better at it. Because the way I started, and if I compare myself to that time now, I've learned a lot and then improved a lot in terms of delivery and also how you even express your thoughts. So I'll say just choose a starting point. It doesn't have to be that technical. You can even look at maybe something that has been introduced many times and then try to see how what aspect that has not been covered and try to incorporate it in your article. And then after that, keep on writing. And lastly, and most importantly, is just having someone who goes over your articles, like a technical reviewer, to just verify that you are doing the right thing and not maybe sharing information that is not valid. Because at times you'll find that maybe some of the articles maybe are not maybe technically correct, and that can be very damaging in your career. Or maybe you find that you've done what we call plagiarism, which is very also dangerous at these times. We have tools like Grammarly to help you maybe detect if you're copying content from another site. So I think just have someone to also go over your article and give you feedback about your article.
Amazing. And I feel like actually you answered my follow-up question, which I wanted to ask you if you have somebody that proofreads your work, and you did touch on that, which is super awesome. I do have another question in the same regards, but this one is actually the opposite. And it says, I'm a technical writer looking to learn a bit of coding, but I'm also intimidated. Any tips? I like it.
So this one, that's a tricky one because I think you cannot say you're a technical writer if you do not have like a, I think it depends with what maybe technical in that aspect means. But if you don't know like maybe any programming language, I think nowadays we have pretty amazing resources. Like for example, for Android, we have the official documentation and a couple of free courses on Udacity or Udemy. And we also have a number of good content creators who have free courses on Kotlin and Android on YouTube. So I think I feel they are usually the best place to start with. And then, and also, as you may be learning the, maybe let's say you are learning Android, it can be also a good place to practice your writing skills by, let's say you've seen this concept, you've not understood it, or from maybe reading or maybe watching a number of videos and tutorials. So you can even start by writing that. And the more you write, the more you understand the concept and the more you actually get better at writing. Because, for example, what I do, in case we have maybe a new topic that has been introduced and I've not learned it, let's say we have like material U that has been recently introduced, I learn it by writing. So I think it can be, you can maybe hit the, I'm not sure the saying what it says, but I think you can do it twice, maybe learn and also practice your technical writing skill while you are learning the language.
I think well said. Sorry. Matt, do you have anything to add on that? Because I found that question pretty interesting.
I just wanted to call out also that I pinned what Harun mentioned is Google's Art of Documentation or Great Documentation and Technical Writing course. There's a two-part course that Google has for free that you can take and just practice some technical writing. And I would recommend doing that with a friend so that they can review it, or even just, you know, asking someone in your circles to review what you've written so that you can get some honest feedback. But yeah, I thought that was a great answer, Harun. Thank you for all that information. To get more involved in the technical side, I would really like the programming side of things, I would really just start, like Harun said, with some of the documentation and the tutorials and get into it and practice writing about it. And that writing doesn't have to be full-fledged blog posts either. Like, it could just be tweets that you put out, like things you learned today, like see if you can get it into something super digestible and approachable. And that is an exercise in itself and its own sort of like technical writing art form. Yeah, that's all I got on that, Madonna.
Yeah, and maybe to also add a bit, once you join like this platform, like RogueRocket and also like Rewenderly, you get this sort of experts to sort of review your work and also do some edits. So they usually like help a lot in terms of you getting to learn and also you getting to perfect your writing skills. Because I think I've been at Rewenderly for 2 years and the amount of lessons I've had over those 2 years, it's like immense. I cannot even like summarize it in like one word or one sentence, because you get to learn about maybe writing from a technical perspective and also from a language perspective. How do you address like readers? How do you make sure that they are not bored with what you write? And how do you make sure that your content is like evergreen and technically correct? So I think after you maybe do a couple on your own, you can maybe just try to join them in the benefits that you get to learn on your own. And you also get to also get paid, because some of they also pay you per article.
Awesome. Unless Madonna has another question, I'm going to jump in here and just ask a bit more about both of your origins. How did you get started with Android development? What drew you to Android over some other technical field?
Yeah, I guess I'll go fast. I was curious. I think I always wanted to kind of do some programming. I was into games and all. But Android was not the one I really wanted to do. I was more interested in gaming stuff. Then I picked up programming from some friends who were going to like a boot camp. And I just got curious with what they were doing. I started doing web with PHP, then switched to Android like immediately. And then since then, I haven't switched. I've been doing Android ever since. So yeah, because I had an Android phone at the time, and I think you can just like build and, you know, deploy and share your app immediately with, you know, friends. And yeah, I've been on Android development ever since. I also was kind of curious, you know, with like trying out gaming and Unity and doing all that, you know, C sharp stuff. But yeah, my PC at the time couldn't really keep up with my ambitions. So yeah, probably in the future I might go back to what actually pulled me to programming. So yeah, that's how my Android story began. So Harun, I guess you can.
Okay, so I think
Yes.
for me, it, how it started when I was in campus back in first year, there was this program for maybe learning about Java and also C. I was very new to programming, so that was my very first time to interact with programming languages. So I learned Java and C, and then after that, I played along with web, not like playing along, trying to read. It wasn't that much interesting, especially the HTML and CSS part of it. So I would like start reading and then get bored, stop, and then procrastinate and procrastinate. And then back in 2015, I attended 2015, 2016, or maybe that period, I attended something called Intel XDK sort of event sponsored by Intel. So they had this cross-platform language called Cordova. I'm not sure if it's a language or what it was a tool. So it would you'd easily like create apps in a second by drag and dropping some buttons, text, and then images. And then once you build the app, you get an APK and then people can run. And it was like amazing. So that's how like I started doing like a number of apps. And then after that, we also had another event to try do a hackathon, and it was in native Java. And that is when I was like, so with Cordova, you didn't have like much native power. And so once I was introduced to like native, I was seeing that you can send SMSs, you can access location, and I was like, hey, this is the place I need to be. And I think from that time, it didn't come like as a thing I was forced or trying to learn and then not learning again. So I just sticked to native Java from 2016 and onwards. I've never tried anything else apart from that period I was trying to like learn web, but I think that was it. And then in 2017, I knew of the Android 254 community, and then I think it sort of changed my whole perspective in terms of learning what to maybe what the industry does or what to expect in a job. And I think that is when I even fell more in love with Android. So for me, I've not done any other language. Apart from Cordova, and then switch to native Java. So that's my Android story.
Awesome. Yeah, I really love hearing other people's stories and how they got into it, because I think it can really help people see that every path forward is a little different, and we all kind of rely on the community at some point to really get involved and learn from each other, which is one of the best parts of being an Android developer, in my opinion.
That is very true, and I loved listening to your stories. And Matt, did you have any other question? I do see we have a speaker that I've approved, Japheth. Japheth, do you have a question to ask our speakers today? Hello, Japheth. Can you hear me? You're muted if you're trying to speak. Hello. Okay. I think maybe,
Maybe some
sorry.
technical issues.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Maybe some technical issues. Okay, cool. I think the other question that I wanted to ask, it's based on our tweet that we tweeted about Google decided to have a product team based in Nairobi. I just want to hear your views, David and Harun. What do you think about this move? Anyone can go first.
Yeah, I think yeah, I think it's a really nice I mean, it's nice seeing that they're actually setting up in Nairobi finally. I mean, I guess this means a lot of, you know, opportunities coming, a lot of I mean, again, man, it also shows that there's a lot of, you know, really experienced and seasoned devs in the country. I guess they wouldn't just, you know, set up, you know, the center if they didn't know they can actually get the people to fill the roles. And yeah, I think this is gonna be quite interesting, because I remember back, I mean, there was this back then, there was this wave with companies like Andela, Microsoft. I guess this is gonna be a whole other different kind of wave. and expect this to keep on happening with more companies setting up. And yeah, I guess that the tech space in Nairobi is just getting, it's just like getting riper, or it's getting better as the days or months or years go by. So I guess it's the place to watch out for. The place to watch out for. So yeah, I mean, it's very, I mean, I've had a lot of people also like text me and tell me, hey, do you know Google is setting up, come back home and stuff. So yeah, this is, I guess it's going to be interesting to see how all this, you know, plays out in the long run. Because I think all these opportunities weren't really there, you know, back then, and most people had to maybe, you know, move out of the country or apply for all these remote jobs. But then if all these companies start, you know, like setting up in our home country, I guess that makes it even way simpler as far as hiring and getting yourself set up. So you don't have to worry about, you know, moving countries, changing locations, traveling, or getting the right documents and etc. You just have to focus on getting the right skill set to land the job. And that's pretty much it. And I think also the when you observe the people who go out, you know, like, you know, people who move from all these companies and go out and start, you know, startups, or you have all these alumni networks and you can do all these like great things, like it opens you up to this whole new networks, I believe. So that's also a nice place to be at. So yeah, I'm happy for my people back home. So let's wait and see how the long-term impact or effect of this will be.
So I think I also share the same sentiment as David. I think it's a big thing for us as a community. I think talking from a community perspective, I think it will be very much of help to us. And I think probably even one of the co-organizers, Candy here, can share with me the same sentiments. Is that I saw we also have like a play team being set up, and what it will do is that we'll have contextual sort of products being developed and also helping to solve some of the problems that we've been having probably as a country and also as a continent from this perspective. So I think getting engineers in Google to help maybe build products for this market will be also very important, because it will mean that we'll have our problems addressed in a much more contextual way, because we've been having like sort of many issues here and there. We try to give feedback to the Google team on how maybe we can improve, or they can improve in certain areas. So I think seeing engineers getting hired will be a great improvement for the community at large.
Very cool. I think it's awesome that so many of these opportunities are going to be brought to other parts of the world rather than just be localized around the United States. I think that's really awesome. And like David, in your situation, you'll have potentially opportunity for you to either go back to your home and family and friends, or, you know, stay where you are and maybe just, you know, help your friends that are there get set up for something great, which is just the opportunity is awesome.
Yeah.
I agree to that too. Sorry, David, did you want to add something? I wanted to say I consign.
No, I think also like the benefits of working with such companies is, if you do get hired, for example, in the Europe or office, I guess it's easy to just, you know, for them to move you to the office that's back home, or to the another country if you choose to. So I guess the more offices they have set up in Nairobi, the easier it is for me to move, I guess. So yeah, but I guess it's a really nice thing to see. So yeah, looking forward to even see even more companies set up office in Nairobi in the coming months, years. So yeah, the future is bright.
That's true. And I just want to mention to our members who are listening in, please, if you have any questions for David and Harun, you can just request to come up and ask a question. And I don't think I have anything sent to my DM now. So, Mark, do you have any questions for our speakers?
It's been pretty quiet on my side too, but we can just keep talking about Android and cool things that are coming out. Just checking in with David and Haroon, have you guys used Jetpack Compose at all?
Wow. I'd say probably in my personal projects. In our app, Trivago app, we only use it on the... We have this debug screen only for like developer use. I think that's the only place we use it. We haven't fully migrated to Compose just yet because of our... So we have this QA... What's it called again? Yeah, I forgot the name of the QA framework, but it kind of is dependent on our view IDs. So we can't really switch to Compose just yet. I think once we have that sorted, then we might probably start the whole migration thing. But yeah, I have played around with Compose, just waiting for the right moment to like go full blast on it.
Oh, interesting. So is that QA tool for like UI tests or?
Yeah, it's for, I think they automated it. I think they do run. It's kind of like a UI scenario kind of testing framework. What's the name of this? Yeah, I think I'll have to remember. I think I'll remember the name at some point and then just share it. Yeah. So I think they're kind of, I guess the framework is kind of trying to figure out how to accommodate this new Compose framework into the testing. Then everything should be fine for us to adopt Compose.
That's awesome. What about you, Haroon?
Yeah, so for me, I think for the last 1 year, since Compose was announced, I've interacted with Compose quite a lot. I think the first one was I write for Stream on their chat SDK. So once immediately they heard of Compose, they started writing some of their components, actually not some, all of their UI components with Jetpack Compose. So I've been writing articles there regarding Jetpack Compose and customizing their SDK. So it's been quite amazing, and maybe seeing what they are doing with Compose on the UI part, I think comparing, because I've written articles both in XML and also Compose, I can see like it's been quite easy to maybe do components in Compose. And also recently I've been playing with Material.io with Compose, so it's also quite a learning experience. And lastly, at job we are trying to migrate to Jetpack Compose or all of maybe UI components. So we are starting with the new UI components and then slowly by slowly refactoring the existing UI components to Jetpack Compose.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't been able to play with it too much in a professional capacity, but that's really cool that you're using it so much. It's definitely like something that we get a bunch of questions about in a lot of our spaces. So it's good to know that, you have the opportunity to play with it. That's really fun.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was actually looking at my DMs. I think I got a question. Sorry, everybody was silent. Okay. There is a question here, and it says, good evening. I want to ask a question on the Android space going on, okay? I don't know if they want to request to speak, but give me one. Let me respond to that and see what's up.
Cool. While we do that, I can ask another question, because I know, David, you said you were a tech lead at Trivago, and I'm wondering what that means to you. Like, what does it mean to lead a team technically?
So we had a product called Weekend. Yeah, unfortunately it's getting axed because the company got a startup, so I guess the feature is going to be more focused on the startup side and not on the co-op. But what that meant was I got to be more involved in meetings, and the reason why I was more involved in the meetings was I would give more on terms of technical feasibility of the feature. So I'd attend UX. So it would start with I would talk with the PM frequently on the scope of tickets. He'd like probably reach out and ask me like the scope of tickets, can this be done? Can this not be done? And we'd do this in across, I'd probably do this together with the iOS, my iOS counterpart. Then I'd also have sessions with the UX team. So we'd have like sessions where we like join a call and like watch someone use the product and see and let them like just say whatever it is that comes to their mind, what they think of the product, if they don't like it, if there's something we're doing wrong, is there something we on the engineering side are missing, is there something which I think as an engineer could make better. So this is where usually as an Android, so usually when you, let's say you, if you keep up with the latest Android trends, this is really your opportunity to like say, hey, there's this new thing in Android, which I think could probably make our life a bit easier here. We can try and use this and this and this to do this. So the whole idea of being tech lead is like figuring out, like the business has this issue and which approach do you think is the best to use to like tackle this issue? And so that's what I would do from like day to day, like do the UX sessions, go through designs with the designers, tell them like, yeah, this is, if this design is doable or not. Luckily, like actually I've seen a lot of discussions on Twitter, like people arguing like they get iOS designs. Luckily our team, we do have separate iOS and Android designs. So yeah, I'd get the Android designs and say like, hey, yeah, this kind of seems possible, or maybe, yeah, this maybe will not be that easy to do. It's gonna take us a month or two, then probably try and find out a solution that's gonna take us less time. Also, it might be difficult sometimes, will require you to like, you know, give some rough estimates on how long you think something will take. So I usually, whenever I'm estimating something, the first guess, which I think like, yeah, this looks like something that's gonna take me 3 days, I will try and overshoot it and maybe say, yeah, this is gonna take me 1 week or 1.5 weeks. Cause yeah, you always think it's too easy or it's too straightforward until you're actually on the ground and then things are not the same. Or you're like, oh, I miss this, I miss that. So that was kind of what I was doing. Also, sometimes it will involve pairing on tickets to also give more context on what needs to be done or answering questions. Also, I had to maybe give a bit of context to the team on where maybe the product, as the tech lead of a specific product, I think it was nice to maybe share some information with the team so that they also have a sense of where the product is going. So that was kind of what the role entailed and kind of what I do on a week-to-week basis. So yeah, it was quite interesting. I did that for almost 1 year, and I have to say, I learned quite a lot that within that time frame. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, seems like a lot of stuff. Yeah. Really, really interesting challenges, and more so than just like the day-to-day involvement of, you know, working on feature work. So yeah. Cool. It's hard work, but I know your team probably appreciates what you do.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. And
sorry. I wanted to regard. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry for cutting you off. The question that I was reading before was fully posted. I do apologize about that. I see also Margaret joined us. He also sent me a question I think he can ask. I'm hoping it's Margaret. Sorry. Margaret did ask a question. She can also ask later. And then I have one more question. So the question was, for a beginner, I am a beginner in Android development. How would you advise they proceed with their development? Like what to learn, what to build for your portfolio, how to get an internship position in Africa or remote? So I think the question is more about how can they get an internship position in Africa or remote? I think anyone can take it, David or Harun.
So I can start. Yeah, I think probably the first maybe on learning bit, as we mentioned and David mentioned too, we have a lot of resources currently, and also a number of communities from the ones that are targeted to universities and ones that are also targeted to people who are in working environments and sort of thing. So I think one thing is just be active in a community, or maybe find yourself a community, because some of these opportunities are shared in these communities also, or you'll find some of the recruiters in these communities too. And again, it's also easy to, once you're like in a meetup, it's also easy to approach someone in maybe a CTO of a company, co-founder of a company, and tell them, hey, I'm looking for an internship position. Will you be having available opportunities? I think that is something good. And also another thing is work on building maybe a portfolio. I think as we are trying to maybe search for internship, because people will still ask, what have you done or what have you built? I think we have GitHub, which is free. So you can maybe start building out simple applications from maybe ones that fetch list of movies, maybe not taking application and so on. So I think just having something to maybe say, I've been learning Kotlin or I've been learning Android with this application, it puts you like a step forward from other applicants. And then lastly is maybe on the portfolio bit, we usually recommend, or I usually recommend people to go a step further and maybe have a Playstore account. So probably you finished your first, maybe not taking application. You can even upload it to the Playstore and get that feeling of uploading your first application to Playstore. And it also gives you that end-to-end of experience of maybe developing to deployment and also having users of your application. So I think having a portfolio and then joining in these communities, because I think most of these opportunities are shared in maybe the community meetup or maybe community whiteboards, and probably just having some people maybe you look up to and follow them on Twitter, because you'll find some opportunities that are also shared on Twitter. I think that is what I'll say.
Yeah, I think I'll just echo most of what Haruna said. Just like start building, build and meetups, do help to also go there, network with people, exchange contacts. I think it's also nice to also keep, stay in touch with people sometimes, because I have some people who even reach out to me on LinkedIn, and then I'm like, oh yeah, this person asked me if, you know, there's an opening or if there's a junior role, I should like, you know, contact them. I'm like, oh yeah, they reached out to me recently. Like, if you reach out to someone, I think you'll always like stay on top of their mind. So it's also nice sometimes to like stay in contact with someone in case they do have, you know, openings. Does help. Meetups. Build publicly. I think that's what they say. Build openly, build publicly. Just share what you're doing. Document your steps. Like, yeah, today you learned this. Doesn't matter how small it is. It could be like a 1 minute read. It could be like a one paragraph blog. Just keep on documenting and keep track of your steps. Start by just doing it for you. Then eventually, you will just get the opportunities. Trust me. Just start like documenting your journey, and share it with friends in the local developer groups or meetups. I think there's always it might actually pique someone's interest. I mean, like, okay, someone might actually reach out to you and ask you, I don't know, are you looking for a job or something? So just like put yourself out there and make it known that you're actually looking for a job, or you're actually looking for an internship, so that when someone actually hears of one, or someone has such an opportunity, they're just going to like, they're like, hey, I know this person reached out to me regarding this type of opportunity, I'll just like contact you immediately. So yeah, that's all I can say.
Awesome. And I think the community part too that we talked about earlier would be really helpful. Like, go to some of those meetups and meet people and interact and learn from them and connect, and that can lead to some opportunities as well. But yeah, and then kind of along that line, Harun, did you want to add to that?
Yeah, and probably I think to add to the community's bit, I think nowadays we have these hiring companies sort of partnering with even existing communities per country. So I think it even makes it better. I think talking from a community perspective or from an organizer perspective, I've been in these partnership deals where people are looking to hire talent from communities and renowned communities, that is from GDGs, DSEs, and also other communities that are in in the country. So I think it is very much beneficial that you have a community, because even when I look back at my, when I was getting my first internship, it was through maybe a someone I knew from the community, and I was very green. I didn't know that much of Android by that time, but I just told the person I'd like to maybe try out the internship process. The process was a bit maybe tough for me, because it was supposed to be sort of a paid internship, but the way I performed, it ended up being an unpaid internship, which I never regret, because I learned a lot on Android development during that internship role. But again, communities are very essential, and also trying to talk to people, because we have people who maybe attend maybe meetups, but you just go without even saying hi to one or two people. So I think it's important to network and then talk to these people, keep contact, and then one day you'll maybe find that right opportunity for you.
Awesome. Well, I just want to, I have one more question I need to ask, but then I need to get going. But I think Madonna is going to take over the space while I'm away, because I have some meetings coming up that I have to attend.
We got you, Matt.
Awesome. Thanks, Madonna. The question before I go is for Haroon. How is it to lead a large community, and what draws you towards that style of leadership?
Yeah, so I think for me, first and foremost, maybe what motivates me maybe to even continue maybe leading or organizing communities is, as I was starting out, I think there were a bunch of people who helped me also to maybe learn these things and hold, like, do the hand-holding bit, like try to explain you this concept that maybe were very complex at that time. So I've always been passionate to try and give back to also the community. And another thing, I think with the communities I organize, we have pretty awesome organizers where we don't have like one person calling the shot. It's sort of a discussion, and then we grow as every year we grow, every year we continue growing. I think before 2018, we didn't even have like a yearly conference, and we decided that, hey, we can try doing out like yearly conferences and so on and so on. So I think it's been like a passion for me to try and help other developers. And apart from that, it's also a joy just seeing that people going through the community and also getting that benefit of that benefit from the community. So it keeps me even moving, and also trying to make sure that even upcoming developers, senior developers, and also maybe intermediate developers have a place to network and also ask questions and sort of that sort of a thing. So I think for me, it is just getting to help other people and also having like a good team where you feel free to organize events and feel free to share your ideas without being shut down or maybe told that, hey, we don't do this here or we don't do that in this community.
Great. Thank you very much, Haroon, for sharing that. I do know we have two speakers that requested to come up, and I think they are reconnecting again. But I do have some more questions that were posted. Matt has a meeting, so he might be quiet for a while. And I wanted to ask this question. So this question is, Kotlin, Java, Dart. This sort of confused me. What should I start with? And what other languages are used for Android development? So David, do you want to pick this first?
Sorry, I think I lost you for a bit. Someone was calling me.
Oh, sorry. So the question was, it says, Kotlin, Java, Dart, this sort of confused me. What should I start with? And what other languages are used for Android?
Oh, okay. If you're starting like Android native, I'd suggest Kotlin. Because you're looking at how things are moving and how job requirements are changing. So if you want to like just get a feel of what you need to learn, just look at the job requirements or what the majority of the job, what are they called, job requirements. And most of them actually require Kotlin. So I guess learning Kotlin is the best way to go. And it's also like the first, it has like first class support. Everything that's been done is being done Kotlin fast. I guess using Compose, I do believe you can only use it with Kotlin. As for Dart, I guess that's the Flutter verse. I haven't really worked with Flutter. So if you actually, I guess, it also boils down to what kind of product are you building and like maybe the budget, like do you need to build a iOS, Android app and maybe you need like one code base or one person to develop all this with Flutter, then probably going the Dart route might be your best shot. So I guess it depends on what you're trying to build. But if it's Android, focused on Android native, I'd say Kotlin. If it's the Flutter hybrid, yeah, that is the way to go.
That's a good point. I also do want to add that Java is still very used also for building Android. And I wouldn't discourage anyone if you wanted to also try Java, because I do know most of the companies are still using it. I think so. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think, yeah, some companies do use, I think we deleted our last few Java clients some months back. But there are some companies still use Java, but I guess it's kind of slowly declining, or rather newer apps or recent apps are being developed in Kotlin. Yeah, but if you do ever find yourself working with, you know, like big, or companies that seem to have legacy code, then chances are you will bump into Java. So I guess, for example, I think I did also had to modify some Java things, for example. And I think it's nice to know some Java. I think it depends on the company you're going to. If it's like a new startup, probably you might not encounter the Java side of things. But if it's if you do happen to be joining a company that's a bit older, might have like some legacy code, then high chances you might bump into some Java, or maybe it wasn't possible for them to refactor everything to Kotlin, or refactoring everything to Kotlin would have brought unforeseen issues. So I'd suggest that you can start learning Kotlin, and then if you do encounter the Java, you just have to learn on the job. I think you'll just have to learn on the job. And yeah, I guess we all do learn on the job, but some we don't really know everything when you're going into the job. So you will learn some things on the job. Yeah.
That is a good point, because I think I started with Java and then now I've been doing Kotlin now for the past 2 years with my current company. Good. Let's move to the other question that we had, and that is from Margaret. Margaret, do you want to ask your question?
And my question is related to something different, that sometimes designers present designs that are not feasible. So what would you recommend designers to learn? Now, this is in relation to Android development, that would help them ship feasible and better Android designs.
Good. Yeah, I'd probably have to ask our designers. I mean, I don't know what they do learn, what they do use. I guess they might also be a bit familiar with material design and everything. I guess they also follow up on trends as far as material design and the likes are concerned. I assume they do. Not sure, but I assume they kind of do, because they do share links from time to time. We haven't really had a case where a design was so far off, or have we? Yeah, I haven't really seen a case on our teams where like a design was so far off, like it had to be like redone from scratch or anything. But I guess they kind of follow up on things like material design and the likes. Yeah, but I guess maybe I'd have to ask them on how they stay in touch with all this iOS and Android space as far as design is concerned.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret, for coming up to ask the question. I do have another question. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, our speakers today. There's so many questions that have been sent, which is super awesome because I am very impressed by looking at them. Okay, we do have another question here. Hi, Madonna. I'm from the Android Twitter space. What aspect of Android development is the most important to companies that are looking to hire? And what kind of project will demonstrate that the builder is skillful in those aspects. Did everyone get that question? It was a bit.
No, I think it's quite clearly.
Okay. Let me read it again. So it's, I think, let me see, what aspect of underdevelopment is the most important to companies that are looking to hire? And what kind of project to demonstrate that the builder is skillful in those aspects? Okay, I think I kind of like understand the question now. It's more of like when somebody's trying to hunt for a job, what kind of projects can they show and how can they show that they're skillful in them? And I do know mostly like here, what we do, many of the projects you get is like just a recycler view with some API callbacks. So I'm kind of like guessing that's a question there. Anybody want to take that?
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you, Madonna. So that is pretty much it. I think most of the requirements on Android require you maybe to consume an API or show a list of items and probably save some items on the local database and so on and so on. But I think apart from that, what people or what companies usually look is how you'd fit in a team. I think that is usually like very essential for the company. So you'll find they'll ask you other questions about maybe the teams you've worked with, how do you work in a team, and so on. So I think those are other aspects that are very important to also learn, apart from just knowing the normal maybe Android development things, but you need that experience of maybe working in teams, how do you collaborate with teams, that is using version control and maybe other team collaboration tools.
I think very well said. David, did you want to add anything on that?
No, I don't think I really have anything extra. Probably as a nice to have, I'd say maybe testing, because not many people get to do that. So it's really like a very nice to have. I think at a certain level, I guess for maybe juniors, it might not be that necessary. But I think once you get to like mid or senior, then it'd be nice to have the testing skill.
Great. This is also pretty nice, and I love this question. It says, hi, I'm from Uganda. We have a Google developer group community, but no focus is placed on Android development. I have been developing for Android since 2017 with Kotlin, but less impact of growth in the Android Kotlin community in Uganda. What advice can you offer for impact growth in the Android community? I think this one definitely, Haron, you might take it. Because I think it really touches on what you do.
Yeah, so I think the very first thing, and I'll say the person has already identified sort of a gap, that is we don't have like impact in the maybe Kotlin space on in their community. So I think what I usually maybe tell people is take up that mantle and then approach the organizers and then tell them, hey, I feel we are not doing this X in a better way, and then we can improve. And apart from maybe giving problems to organizers, because I think they have a bunch of other things to do, the good thing will be like come with a problem and then present them with like a solution in mind that I feel like I can help do this. I feel like we can do the same thing, or what you are seeing in other communities, you can replicate the same in your community. So I think that is what I'd recommend, because for most of us, I think for Android to 5, as I mentioned, and the communities that we have here in Kenya, we don't have sort of someone calling the shots. So if you feel that there is a gap that maybe that is not being done, you can come and then help the organizing team. I think that is maybe the best way to answer that.
That is pretty well said. And I also want to add that one of the other things that you can do is try to see what Haron is doing and try to replicate that. Because Haron, if you get so many people coming to your communities, maybe based on Android events, maybe what you can share the secrets too, like just do like a one-on-one where it's organize a meeting and guide. Just a thought.
Well, actually, I do a lot of that, and also a couple of other they are very friendly. I think Candy is here. We are very friendly to maybe share the experience we have and even maybe share some of the tips. But I think one of the key thing maybe if you want to join the organizing space is just provide value for your members. I think once you provide value, people will keep on coming and keep on attending the meetups and whatever you organize. So because people relate a lot with value. So if you don't have like value, you'll maybe organize one, two, and then people disappear. But if you keep on providing value, I think even Madonna, you can attest from the time you just started the spaces, I think people keep on coming because they see value in these maybe conversations, and then they are of great help to their career. So the key important thing to have is have value and then be consistent.
That's a very good point. Yeah, consistency does work, and also just bring in value and content. And that's why I'm very grateful for David and Haroon. If you're not following them, please do. And also make sure you follow me and Matt for all our spaces. I do enjoy doing this for sure. I mean, my lunch is always lit these days on Fridays. I hope it's for everyone and everybody feels the same.
Yeah. So, such a nice Friday. Yes.
I love that. I do have another question. Wow, this is amazing. I think it's a follow-up. For someone without a computer science degree, is it necessary to get some of the Android certifications? I think even without going to David and Haroon, that I would just say yes, but David and Haroon, take it away.
I'd say, yeah, it kind of, yes and no, it really depends what you're trying to. I mean, some people have gotten hired without any certifications. They just like did their own self-learning. If you're planning on relocating, it kind of helps, I'd say, the boot camps or the trainings or certifications you have do kind of help you in the process. So that's why I'm saying it kind of depends what the context really is, on whether or not you do require the certificates. If it's just applying locally and you're going to get the job, that's fine. But if you're planning on starting to cross the borders, then some level of certification starts to matter.
Wow, yeah, I think that's very true. And I also feel like most of the people these days with the boot camps and everything, it's a necessary to have that you need to get a job. But you're right, David, I don't think it's a must, but it does help. So that's the word. It's not a must, but it does help. So a yes, and also like you don't necessarily need it. But Haroon, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think pretty much what David said. But on top of that, whether you have the certificate or not, I think what people look at is skills. When you have the necessary skills, I think you'll always be marketable, whether you have the certificate or not. But I think depending on maybe how you choose to maybe progress in your career, you'll find that probably once you want to do sort of management sort of roles, you'll need those sort of certificates to help you navigate higher in your career. So I think basically, if you have the opportunity to do the certificates, go ahead and do it. I'd rather you have them and not use them, other than not maybe having them and then later on require them and you don't have them. So if you have the opportunity, please go ahead. I think the most key thing in this is mostly the degree, or maybe the university degree for most people, because you will find most people don't have that degree. But I usually say if you have that opportunity to do that degree, you can go ahead and complete it. And then it's better just having them it, and it will help you in one way or the other, or never help you at times.
Very well said. Let me see if we have one more question. I was reading some of the feedback here, which is super great. I'm also very grateful for everybody that joined us today. And most importantly for you, David and Haroon. We might be wrapping up in the next like 9 minutes, but I'm very grateful for everybody that's joined us today, for staying here with us all this time. And if you also have a question and you're in the space, please don't be afraid. Just raise your hand or request to speak, and then I'll bring you up. Matt did take a short break. He has a meeting. So I think when we're done, I'll just signal him, hey, look, we're done here. But otherwise, David and Haroon, it was so great to just hear from our friends and also like hear from you all, your different perspective and how development is in all kinds of, I mean, in everywhere in the world, which is awesome. That's why I love these communities, because you're able to connect with everybody from around the world and you never know. So let me look here on my messages. I see I have a request messages. Hey, Okay, so hi, Madonna. Can you ask David if open source is an avenue to get hired and how can one contribute to such projects effectively? I told you, the questions are so great, David.
Yeah, I think it does help, especially if it's something really, I mean, if you do contribute to something that's used by a lot of, what's it called? A lot of, I don't know, companies, a lot of apps, a lot of projects. I mean, that should kind of count as some experience. And I think it's easy to showcase that here. Yeah, I kind of, I think you can list it somewhere in your CV or experience. Like, yes, you did. You are able to like fix this bug or add this feature to this awesome library that's used by X. So I think you need to be able to quantify all this for someone to be able to see the impact of the open source project that you're contributing to. So yeah, if it does have quite the impact, I'm pretty sure it can open you open doors for you. And how to get started on open source. Yeah, actually, I don't even have the best answer for that. I actually believe that you should contribute to the stuff you use the most. And yeah, that's my opinion on open source. I guess other people have their own approach to how they approach open source. But I think like contributing to the tools you use is the one of the best ways to get your hands dirty. Or probably I think some open source projects also do have, if you're interested in some open source projects or you see something that you think you might be able to do, some usually have this friendly, like good for first timers or kind of tags on their issues. So maybe you can look out for such kind of tags, and I guess those will be quite easy to get your hands dirty and ready to go as far as contributing to open source is concerned. What else can I say about open source? Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's lots of initiatives that deal with how to approach open source out there. But yeah, for me, it's always been contribute to what you use the most or what you feel interested in, because you also don't want it to feel like, I mean, open source, I feel it should be kind of fun or like something you're willing to do in your own free time. So it shouldn't feel like a chore or something you're being forced to do, but rather something you're kind of glad or something you're willing to do. So yeah, if you do choose to go in the open source route, I guess like choosing something you are familiar with or something you're interested in or something that piques your interest is the best way to go.
And also to add on that topic, David, I do know we are planning a space with one of the biggest Android open source contributor. I think he's based out in South Korea, Jiwon. I don't know if many of you know him, but you must have used one of his libraries. It's pretty good. So definitely, I'm hoping he will share more tips on that too. And without further ado, we had one speaker coming up, Jane, but I think the network something happened. Any parting shots, David or Haron, what words of advice would you give to our listeners today before we wrap up in the next like 4 minutes?
Yeah, so I think for me, word of advice would be probably be consistent, and I think that usually helps a lot in terms of learning. And also on the community part, I think we have a lot of pretty amazing individuals who are ready to help. And I think don't shy away. I think most people, I'll talk from experience, they like, for example, they fear like approaching me or maybe David, for example, but once you maybe reach out to them, you'll find that they are very easygoing and very easy to help. So don't make your own assumptions. I think they are very easy to also help people. Or in case they cannot help, they can also redirect you to the right sources. I think we try as much as possible to help. And probably lastly, I think for those in Kenya, we also have like a physical meetup. Be sure to also join us tomorrow at iHub from 11 a.m.
I love that plug, Haron. Well done.
Yeah.
should have told me earlier to do this for you.
No, I was waiting for the last minute to say it.
I love it. Well done. David.
Yeah, I think you've kind of already, like, yeah, consistency is, I think, what will, yeah, consistency is, I think, what really helps in the, in this, for those starting out, yeah, consistency is what usually helps in the long run. You don't really have to do everything like every other day, but it could be just like practicing or building that thing once every week. And I think if you're just like consistent, it will eventually, your skills will reach some level and you can get all those jobs that you're applying to with ease. Don't really have to like stress or do lit code for like 2 days and then like get into the interview, get stressed, and just like be yeah, super, super pissed or super discouraged. But yeah, consistency is I think is the best. It always keeps you prepared and on your feet, and you're always your skills are always up to date. So yeah, consistency I guess is the tip of the day. And yeah, I do not have any meetups that I can advertise. So yeah, all of you going to have tomorrow, enjoy.
Yeah, everybody go at Haran's tomorrow at High Hub Nairobi, right, Haran?
Yeah, that's correct.
Cool. We do ask this question though to all our speakers that come here. If you read any books, if you have any amazing book list, I do know we are almost out of time, but please, within the few seconds, everybody should go and say their books that they're reading. Candy, I see you laughing. David, yeah. Your books.
Yeah. Currently, I bought this How to Work Effectively with Legacy Code. That's what I'm reading currently.
Nice.
Pragmatic Programmer, I think that's the name of the book. Yeah. They've been on my list for too long. I needed to be done with them.
I love that. Haran?
Yeah, so I'll also do like a shameless plug again. So I have a book, so Saving Data on Android. So quite a good book with a few co-authors. And then other books that I read, we have Living by the Code, where you have various people sharing their experiences. And lastly, there is the book by Compose, the Jetpack Compose book by Thomas, which I'm planning to start on reading, which is quite interesting. I've been seeing the reviews online.
Amazing. I'm reading that book too. And that's a wrap. We are right on time. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you again, David and Haran. And thank you very much, our listeners, for all the amazing questions. There were so many. I think we didn't finish all of them, but I think both of you nailed the answers, and I'm very proud of all of you. Please, if you're not following David and Haran, go ahead and do that. And also follow Matt and me for future spaces. And please, again, I'm just going to mention this, go to Haran's meetup tomorrow. Tomorrow. Is it tomorrow, Haran?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yes, cool. And I think, Matt, I am giving you the permission to end the space. Thank you, everybody.
Awesome. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for having us.
Sure. Bye.